Welcome to Dismantling Injustice, the podcast of the Envision Freedom Fund. I'm Julie Menti, Envision's Communications Manager, filling in as host for our Executive Director, Carl Hammett-Lipscomb. As New York City continues to struggle with meeting the needs of newly arrived immigrants, we're joined by City Council member Shahana Hanif. Born and raised in Brooklyn's District 39 to Bangladeshi immigrant parents, Shahana has spent her life fighting for working-class families and a city rooted in care, equity, and justice. Please stay tuned for our conversation about what it means to be a sanctuary city in name and in practice. I'm joined today by City Council member Shahana Hanif, and we're really excited to have you as a guest on the podcast.
Thank you. I'm super excited for this conversation.
Yeah, you know, you've been a longtime advocate for tenants' rights and gender rights, and you've really been a champion for migrant New Yorkers, certainly since you've been a member of City Council, and obviously long before that. You know, we participated in a visit to the Orange County Correctional Facility with you last year to help shed light on the horrendous detention conditions there, and you've just really been such a steadfast advocate for the Dignity Not Detention Act, which would get New York out of the business of immigration detention. You are the chair of the Committee on Immigration for the New York City Council. And I guess if we could just start, you know, how would you characterize and how would you grade the city's support of and response to recently arrived migrants?
Ooh, that is such a great question. You know, and I don't have a background as an educator, but based on the last 2 years, I would grade the city, and that's really the administration. We are talking about how the mayor is doing. I would give the mayor a C. And a C because, you know, he has, and of course, all the city workers, his city agencies, I know that they've been working hard. They have housed over 50,000 people who've come in from parts of South America, from countries in Africa, and housing these folks have been the first priority. And so to be able to do that has been important. He has also been steadfast in asking and calling on our state and federal partners to expedite work authorizations or to assist in finding spaces for additional housing. So those are some critical good points for this mayor. But overall, the rhetoric in which he has taken on the issue of our city being a city for all, he has had very dangerous, deeply harmful rhetoric around asylum seekers, that they are destroying New York City. He has had his senior advisor on the news saying, we've got to close the borders. I mean, those have some serious, serious implications. And that paired with the objective to house folks doesn't deliver the sanctuary city that we are. And so he gets a C.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about the rhetoric that he's been using and why that's so harmful? Like, what are, you know, a lot of people I think would just say like, oh, that's just words. But I think you and I certainly know differently. I think our listeners know differently. But if you could just talk a little bit about why that kind of rhetoric is so dangerous and so harmful.
Words have power. I had just recently attended a conference with local elected officials from all across the United States. We gathered as progressives, and you know, his message about asylum seekers destroying New York City has reached every part of the United States. And that is what I had gathered when I was in this space just a couple of weeks ago in St. Louis, hosted by Local Progress. And it really shocked me because I know that his words have looked like hate crime in our city. His words have looked like employers taking advantage of workers who are new to the city, wage theft, exploitation, harassment. So those words have meaning and have had harmful meaning. It literally means, and as we've seen in the beginning of COVID, when COVID was pinned on folks from China, I mean, we know the implications of what that had meant, right? We had seen violence and the death and killing of our Asian siblings. And so words have meaning, and to know that his words had reached the masses and that other cities were using his words to say, look at what's happening in New York City. This is what it means to be a city that welcomes asylum seekers, basically justifying, actually, we can't welcome newcomers because they will destroy our city. So his words have tremendous, tremendous meaning. And it's vitriolic. It undoes the history that we sit on. We have been a city that is rooted in the dignity of immigrants. We have had waves and waves of immigrants come to the United States, come to New York City in particular for an opportunity for democracy, escaping political repression, economic stressors, and the compounding climate crisis.
We'll be right back after these messages. Charm Bar and Restaurant is a Caribbean and American fusion restaurant located in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn, New York. Their cuisine embraces influence and inspiration from Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, and many other Caribbean islands. Their menu also highlights several vegan options and signature cocktails curated using the finest and freshest ingredients. This past year, Charm has been featured by Forbes, Ebony, Chase Sapphire, and Black Restaurant Week. And they sponsored Envision Freedom's office warming with a delicious selection from their menu. Dine with them at 448 Dean Street in Brooklyn, adjacent to the Barclays Center, and follow them on Instagram at CharmBarBK. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, sort of New York as a, you know, people are looking to us as an example. Can you talk a little bit about what you think our responsibility is as a sanctuary city for migrants who are seeking the safety and stability that resources in New York City can provide?
Absolutely. Given New York City's history, we have a responsibility for us to step up. Simply put, we have got to step up. Seeing the influx of migrants as simply an emergency or something short term is not how we should be approaching this. We need our leaders to be up for the task that is dedicated to centering what we are witnessing as our reality. We will not see the stop to the movement of people into our city. The conditions that are so intertwined with politics in so many homelands, the compounding climate crisis, I mean, there are so many pieces to this that will not stop, requires New York City to show what sanctuary means. And that means investing in long-term permanent housing. It means securing the dollars necessary for legal services. It means us saying, not only are we going to fight for and advocate for expedited work authorizations, but actually we need serious reforms at the federal level. Without serious immigration reform at the federal level, we will continue to take on a piecemeal approach. And the only fight can't be to simply have expedited work authorizations. So we need broader reform at the federal level. And as a city, we have a responsibility to see this moment as an opportunity for us, that New York City will be a home to many people who are fleeing violence and harm. And so our responsibility will need to be rooted in ensuring that when they get here, they feel safe. that New York City council members will be legislating to expand security. And I've been proud to utilize that role as a legislator, as somebody who has power in the discussions of our city's budget, to look at the opportunities that say we can actually do more. We are creative, we are talented, we are deeply compassionate and radically inclusive. So let's do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Radically inclusive. I love that. Can you talk a little bit more about how your work on the city council supports your vision for a real sanctuary city?
Absolutely. I have been on the front line with council members in the Progressive Caucus and our citywide elected officials like our comptroller, Brad Lander, public advocate, Jumani Williams, Brooklyn Borough President, Antonio Reynoso, in the urgency for federal immigration reform and bringing in the necessary investments for legal services. We know that it's not enough to call on for the expedited work authorizations, because if you don't have the legal services to begin the asylum process, we can't expect that you're going to be eligible for work authorization. This is an arduous process and folks need to be connected to legal services. And so I've been calling on our administration to put in $70 million, and that has been backed by our comptroller. And then, of course, the city council has pushed a package of legislation to expand our rental voucher program, which was vetoed by the mayor, and we voted successfully to override his veto. But this now is, of course, in an impending lawsuit fight. I've been advocating for accessible healthcare options. We know that many folks who have arrived here are coming in with very specific health issues, but particularly mental health issues that require immediate attention and a trauma-informed approach. And so working closely with schools to ensure that our schools are equipped with social workers who have a bilingual and culturally sensitive approach to working with young people. And of course, the fight for schools to be fully funded. Through COVID, Mayor Adams and the chancellor were saying that, you know, enrollment has dropped, and so we're pulling money away from schools. But now we are seeing that schools are one of the most urgent opportunities in seeing young people enrolled. And the students, these students are providing a perspective that show to us that we need our schools to be fully funded. We need educators and school administrators who are trauma-informed in their approach, and that this is about to transform our schools. And so schools are showing another opportunity and a gateway to be compassionate. And to be frank, in my district, and I know across many school districts, we have seen the outpour of love from families who are understanding that if we do not use this opportunity to welcome these young people, they will be scarred forever. So schools are such an important place for these students and their families to know that they are cared for deeply. And that is what I've witnessed over and over in the schools across my district. And then, of course, just the reminder that New York City is a city where immigrants can thrive, immigrants can succeed. And we need that reverberated more broadly. And certainly wherever I go now, I always share as just a value statement that New York City will always be an inclusive place. We will fight together to ensure that you are safe, your neighbors are safe, and that we can congregate together to create a stronger democracy.
Yeah. What do you think are the biggest obstacles to getting this done? Like, what, you know, is it political will? Is it lack of resources? Is it xenophobia? What do you think are the biggest obstacles?
What's been tough to witness is the pitting against of communities in the way that is basically saying, well, because of asylum seekers, X community is not getting what they deserve. And that really hurts to hear. But it is rooted in the fact that our city has harmed communities by pulling money away from our schools, by pulling money away from mental health resources, by divesting from the culturally competent community organizations that are doing work directly in our communities. And so I just want folks to remember, one community can never be the reason why I don't have enough. That we need to focus our attention on the fact that we have lived in a political system where the bureaucrats have decided where money should be spent, and they haven't put in the money that we need to feel safe. And that has resulted in the school to prison pipeline, that has resulted in seeing the unjust incarceration that we're seeing, that has resulted in the delay in the closure of Rikers, and so much more. And so we need to connect these issues to really understand that the deep disinvestments in our communities have hurt us all. And if we simply point a finger to asylum seekers, that will continue to hurt us more. And so we need to be focused and disciplined in saying that New York City is a wealthy city. We have got the resources. We have got the resources. We have strong leadership and political will to do this right. And so we need the courage, and the expectation I have from our top leaders is that to get the rhetoric right. I mean, I recently watched Mayor Brandon Johnson from Chicago just talk about Chicago as being open and willing to support asylum seekers. And that makes a huge difference. That pushes constituents, communities to say, yeah, if our mayor thinks this is good, let's do it. I believe in it. So the way leadership talks about what is happening is equally important in our fight to show that dignity can be very easy to do.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Over the last 8 years, Envision Freedom Fund has paid more than $14 million to free close to 6,000 individuals from pretrial jailing or immigration detention. Thank you to all of our donors who help us to pay the too high price for freedom. We know that paying bond will never be enough on its own to end the humanitarian crisis of incarceration and the surveillance of Black, Brown, and immigrant communities. That's why we also fight to dismantle the systems that harm our communities in the first place. If this sounds like the transformative change that you believe in, you can join us. Visit our website, envisionfreedom.org, or click the link right on our Spotify profile to donate to Envision Freedom Fund. Because freedom for all people will take all of us.
You're doing an incredible job of connecting a lot of dots and sort of the nuance and complexity of addressing these issues here in New York. I'm wondering, you know, what do you feel like sort of the everyday New Yorker or communities in your district, what can people do to be more welcoming to migrants, to make sure that they're getting the message that they are welcome here, we want them here, they can be supported here?
There's so much that folks could do, and it has been so joyful to see the ways in which New Yorkers across age, ability, race, have just stepped up. And some of those ways include joining mutual aid networks, and we saw the culmination of these neighborhood-based or borough-based during COVID, and it's been very wonderful to see the iterations of our mutual aid networks. And so to see that the values in which they were rooted during COVID, and now to becoming or stewarding their leadership to support asylum seekers is tremendously important. And in my district, we've got the Gowanus Mutual Aid Network, and they've been so steadfast and a real light for asylum seekers. Or join a food pantry. We've got CHIPS in my district. We've got Camp Friendship, who are doing regular distributions, and there are ways to just either donate or do a shift. And folks could do so much just by showing up. And it really means a lot to just say hello. And then, of course, to join the broader fight and to understand the issues around housing, affordability, to what is happening to folks on Rikers, to the ways in which immigration reform has been stalled for years. So there are groups that are doing that critical advocacy work, like the New York Immigration Coalition. We've got Mixteca, the New Immigrant Community Empowerment Organization, Workers Justice Project, Envision Freedom Fund. I mean, there's countless groups to help New Yorkers understand what are the lived realities of New Yorkers and how we are connecting them to this particular moment, because we are inextricably linked. And so we've got to do something. We've got to step up or come to a rally and see the energy of when people gather to show up and show out. And then, you know, if you're unable to do anything, avoid in your conversations the divisiveness. For example, I never talk about what we're witnessing as a crisis. I don't like the approach of talking about people, humans, who are leaving out of desperation as a crisis. So it's really important how we have day-to-day conversations and expanding the ways in which our everyday narrative, everyday conversations are showing more compassion. And then, of course, there are countless pieces of legislation at the local level that I want to plug here. I've got a bill to expand paid sick leave for gig workers that would include deliveristas. So many of our recent migrants are working in the delivery work sector, and they don't have the protections of taking time off because they don't get paid if they decide to take time off for illness or tending to care for domestic violence, whatever else. I also have an immigrant workers' bill of rights that would push employers to conspicuously share what the rights are of immigrant workers. We've seen an uptick in workplace harassment and wage theft and other issues. I also have a bill that would force this administration to comply with minimum standards for all of the shelters that are being opened for asylum seekers. I also have a piece of legislation that would force our city to expand awareness about the legal services fraud that exists. Many folks are putting down hundreds of dollars and are basically having their money stolen without getting any supportive legal services. We have a piece of legislation that would stop the administration from imposing limits on how many days a migrant or any unhoused person can stay at a shelter. He recently put out a directive for 30 days that is harmful, dangerous, and would basically put folks on the streets. So there are countless legislation that New Yorkers should be watching and should reach out to their council member to sign on to. There is just so much to do here, and everyone has a role to play.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you for your leadership and thank you for sharing your perspective. I really appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us and to share what you see from your position. It's really helpful to know that there's action being taken at the city level, we're not out of options. There's still a lot of things that we can do as individuals, as collective, as community, you know, while also demanding better from our mayor, from our state leaders, from our federal leaders. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate the partnership.
Thanks again for joining us. Dismantling Injustice is brought to you by Envision Freedom Fund, an organization that works to transform the immigration and criminal legal systems while meeting the critical needs of individuals impacted by these systems daily. To learn more about our work and donate, visit us at envisionfreedom.org. That's envisionfreedom.org. Dismantling Injustice was created by Sally Israel. Our executive producer is Abigail Wolf. Special thanks to the team at Envision Freedom for being amazing. Until we're all free, peace out.